Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 1 of the study of 1 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Kings 17, 1 through 6. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Mondays, we want to pray for Japan. Lord, I ask that you would pour out your spirit over the nation of Japan. Lord, would you ask that you would raise up laborers to go into the harvest field of Japan, God? Would you raise up men and women to go share the gospel, God? And I ask that you would open hearts. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would draw men and women in Japan to know you, God. We ask for a great harvest of souls in Japan. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word is saying to us today. In your name we pray, amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." So right there, that's a mouthful right off the bat. I've been leading up to this, telling you that we were about to introduce Elijah, one of the greatest figures in the Old Testament. He is such a great figure that there are allusions and references to him all throughout scripture after this, Old Testament and New Testament, including the prophecy in Malachi that says, you know, "Behold, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send to you Elijah the prophet, and he will return the hearts of the fathers back to the children back to the fathers." This is one of the most important prophecies in Judaism. In fact, whenever they have the Passover Seder, the Passover meal festival, they always leave an empty seat for Elijah because he's supposed to come. So they have the tradition to leave that empty seat there for him. Jesus later said that, you know, John the Baptist came in that spirit of Elijah. He was, as Jesus said, "If you can accept it, the Elijah to come." And there is still this unfulfilled part of that prophecy, because the great and dreadful day of the Lord, when the Lord returns, when Jesus comes back a second time, there will be Elijah will come before him. And it could be another figurative Elijah like John the Baptist, or it could be literal, because we find that Elijah didn't die. And there's lots of different theories and thoughts about that and how that all works. And we don't know for sure, but we do know that Elijah is a pivotal character, pivotal person, not just a character. Character is someone from literature. Elijah is a real person from real history here in Israel. And this is his introduction. It's almost a bit of an anticlimactic introduction. He doesn't get the treatment that Samuel or other people do. He just kind of shows up one day. He's already a prophet now, and he goes and he speaks to Ahab. He shows up before Ahab, and we haven't heard of him before. And so he just shows up to Ahab and says, "Listen, there won't be dew or rain." Now the rain thing is fine, but the fact that there's not even going to be dew, the fact that there's going to be so little moisture in the air that there won't even be dew, is amazing. I mean, think about how dry. That's a drought of droughts. And imagine if you were able to say, "There won't be dew or rain unless I say so." That's the authority that the Lord has given Elijah right here. And remember, we've talked about the balance of clarity versus your obligation to obey, how the Lord is going to hold you accountable for your obedience based on the clarity of the word he's given you. Right here, Elijah has got a heavy word with a tremendous amount of authority. I mean, he's saying it's not going to rain, and we find out that it doesn't, and it's not going to unless he says something to stop it. That is more authority than the Lord has given almost anybody else in the Old Testament. And this is one of the reasons why Elijah stands in Scripture toe-to-toe with, you know, the likes of Moses and David and Abraham. He is a pivotal apostolic figure in the Old Testament because of this. And it's amazing that we haven't heard of him before now, if he has this level of authority. It's absolutely amazing. And he stands in stark contrast to King Ahab, this wicked king. And here we have this devout man of God, this man that loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the Lord has anointed him with great authority, not only prophetically. I mean, when you look at Elijah, you know, the term prophet is used for him. But if you were to compare him to someone in the New Testament, you would more likely call him an apostle. I mean, this guy, not only does he, does the Lord speak to him, and he has this prophetic spirit about him, but he carries tremendous, tremendous authority like that of Samuel and even greater than Samuel, it would seem. It tells us that he's a Tishbite, and then it goes on to say from Tishbe. And this is a very interesting point here in verse 1 to make, because most of the time, especially in Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, it doesn't give us this kind of information. It just says, Samuel's father was an Ephraimite. But we know when we read, that's what it says in Samuel. When we read Chronicles, it tells us that he was actually a Levite who was living in Ephraim. So calling him an Ephraimite is a little bit deceptive here. And so Elijah is being called a Tishbite because he's from Tishbe. And so we understand that there are all of these different distinctions and sometimes these adjectives that the Bible uses to describe people, like here, that they are not, you know, there's no tribe of Tishbe. There's no tribe of the Tishbites weren't a tribe. So we know that Elijah was from a town called Tishbe. But the interesting thing here is that it actually reiterates that. So there must be some significance to this. Maybe by the time this was being written, Tishbe didn't exist anymore. Maybe it was a ghost town along, you know, a ruins city. It didn't exist anymore in Gilead by the time this is being written. But for whatever reason, our author decided that it needed to be reiterated that Elijah the Tishbite was from Tishbe. I don't know that there's a tremendous amount of significance in that, but I always, when I notice things like that, the Bible wastes no words. It wastes no words at all. So when it reiterates something, there's something important there. There's something important there. I honestly can't tell you what that is, and I haven't read anything that has illuminated that to me either. But I always love when the Bible does things like that. I want to know, Lord, what is significant about that? Why would you waste quote unquote words to reiterate something so trivial, so menial as to say where Elijah was from? For us, it doesn't really matter that much where Elijah's from, because we're generally, as Western Gentile Christians, if you're like me, not from there. And it doesn't really matter, especially if all of these cities are long gone by thousands of years. It doesn't really matter where they're from. But there was something about it that the Lord wanted to reiterate, that Elijah was from Tishbe. Maybe it was an evil city and Elijah rose from that, or who knows? Anyway, that's a bunny trail. Let's move on. Verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. What an amazing story. You know, I've heard it said a lot that, you know, ravens are, you know, crafty creatures and things like that. And so it doesn't surprise them that the ravens would bring Elijah food. But I've heard it even more that ravens are actually selfish creatures. They find things and they want to keep them from themselves. And so it makes it all the more supernatural that ravens fed Elijah, because they don't give away their thing. They don't give up stuff. And they certainly wouldn't be in their nature to bring Elijah any food, but neither would it be in the nature of any bird or any animal to come and bring Elijah food. This is an amazing supernatural event. The Lord here proclaims his sovereignty over all creation, over all of the world. I mean, this is up there with Balaam's donkey speaking. You know, there's these ravens are coming and bringing him bread and meat. I mean, where are they getting it from? And why are they bringing it to Elijah? It's completely supernatural. This is such a cool story that Elijah is being nourished by these birds. I suppose you could be a little grossed out by it if you're, I'm sure the, regardless of whether the ravens are bringing it in their beaks or their claws, they're kind of disgusting birds, but nonetheless, the Lord is providing for Elijah. I mean, what a cool story to tell that you were supplied. The Lord supernaturally brought you food from the ravens. You know, we worry so often about what if the Lord can, you know, provide for this thing that we need, or if he can make our bill or, you know, make ends meet with our bills or this or that. The Lord has amazing means. He has amazing means to take care of us. This is a wonderful example that the Lord can take care of us in any situation. And part of the reason that the Lord is taking care of him here, remember that Elijah has just proclaimed a drought, and now Ahab is hunting him. We'll find out later that Ahab is hunting him to kill him. So the Lord sends him away from Ahab. And so he sends him to this place where there's still actually water flowing in this ravine, but there's apparently, you know, no place for Elijah to go get food, or the Lord doesn't want him to get food. So he's supplying him supernaturally from these ravens. I love this story. I mean, this is, of course, one of the most famous stories about Elijah, you know, that the ravens do come and feed him. But Elijah is, he's got a difficult road ahead of him. Elijah has got a very difficult road. The Lord raised him up in a very difficult time with a very difficult message. And Elijah, for the most part, was very, very faithful to that message and very obedient to the Lord. I think we can learn a lot of lessons from Elijah's life, both positive and negative. And I hope that as we go through this, we can see those things. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for joining me on the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. And as always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. I read everyone and I really love getting the feedback. It's one of the best ways also to let other people know about the podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.